From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. It's Chloe, July 24th. 10 stories, evidence-led, no fluff, small inputs compound. Let's get into it. First, from Monga Bay. First sighting of African wild dogs in Malawi National Park in more than 10 years. African wild dogs have been spotted in Kasungu National Park in Malawi for the first time in over a decade. The four dogs, identified through a database of wild dogs from South Luangwa National Park in Zambia, are believed to have travelled hundreds of kilometres from their original location. They were first recorded in May near a school in Mfuwe village, just outside South Luangwa, and are thought to have crossed the Malawi-Zambia border through a transfrontier conservation area. This sighting is promising for the potential of wild dog dispersal between countries, with the possibility of more dogs migrating between Malawi and Zambia in the future. Next, second, from Big Think. Physician, the outdated mindset that gets in the way of our healing. Physician Julia Enders challenges the traditional view of the body as a collection of separate organs working independently. She argues that each organ is connected and influences the others, impacting our overall health and recovery. For instance, the lung's ability to regulate inflammation is linked to the immune system's response, which in turn affects the skin's barrier function. Similarly, the muscle's role in movement and recovery is intertwined with the brain's nervous system, influencing our emotional and physical well-being. Enders emphasises that this interconnectedness is often overlooked in modern medicine, leading to a narrow focus on individual organs rather than the body as a whole. By recognising these relationships, we can develop a more holistic approach to healing and recovery. The skin, often seen as a mere barrier, plays a crucial role in regulating our body's temperature, hydration, and even our mood. The immune system, meanwhile, is not just a defense mechanism, but also a key player in tissue repair and regeneration. By acknowledging the intricate web of connections between these body parts, we can adopt a more comprehensive understanding of how we work, heal, and recover. This perspective shift can lead to more effective treatments and a deeper appreciation for the body's incredible complexity. Up next, third, from New Atlas. Peak Design introduces versatile quick-release camera bracket. So Peak Design just came out with a new camera bracket called the Field Bracket. It's designed to be super versatile, which is great for people who use their cameras in lots of different situations. The idea is that it can adapt to different mounting systems, so you can easily switch between them. The field bracket is a quick release system, which makes it easy to attach and detach your camera from different mounts. This could be really useful for people who use their cameras for different types of photography, like hiking or videography. It's not a revolutionary product, but it does seem like a well-designed solution for people who need a flexible mounting system. Peak Design is known for making high-quality accessories, so it's likely that the Field Bracket will be a solid addition to their lineup. The Field Bracket is currently available, and it's something that might be worth checking out if you're in the market for a new camera mounting system. It's not a game changer, but it could be a useful tool for people who use their cameras in a variety of situations. And then, fourth, from New Atlas. Mini packs all the essentials into a towable tiny house. So the Mini is a tiny house that's 20 feet long, which is pretty short, but it's designed to be super functional. It's meant for two people, and it's got everything you'd need to live comfortably, like a kitchen, a bathroom, and a sleeping area. It's also designed to be towable, so you can take it wherever you want to go. The layout is pretty clever, with a lot of vertical space to make the most of the compact footprint. They've also included some nice touches, like a skylight to let in natural light, and a decent-sized storage area for all your stuff. One of the big advantages of the Mini is that it's really energy efficient, which is great for those who want to live off the grid. And because it's so small, it's also relatively easy to maintain and clean. It's worth noting that This is a pretty small space, so it's not for everyone. But if you're looking for a tiny house that's still got all the essentials, the Mini might be worth checking out. The designers have done a great job of packing everything you need into a really compact space, so it's definitely worth considering if you're in the market for a tiny house. Next, fifth from Monger Bay. Rare alpine herb confirmed in India after 158 years. So, a team of researchers from the Botanical Survey of India recently confirmed the presence of a tiny, rare alpine herb called Cyananthus hookeri in the eastern Himalayas. This is a big deal because it's been over 158 years since it was last documented in India. The plant was first recorded in 1867 by British botanist Sir Joseph Dalton Hooker, but it wasn't until last year that a research team found it again in the Chuna Valley of Arunachal Pradesh state. They discovered it growing at an altitude of 3,600 metres, and it's a pretty specialised herb that's adapted to harsh mountain conditions. It's small, grows in mat-like clumps, and has striking purple-blue flowers. The researchers are excited about this finding because it highlights how remote alpine ecosystems can still harbour poorly documented plant diversity. Up next. Sixth, from Monger Bay, beavers restored a volcano-scarred river. Now it's at risk again. So a volcanic eruption back in 1980 filled up part of the North Fork Toutle River in Washington with sediment, basically smothering the area. But in recent years, beavers have been helping to restore the river by building dams and canals, which has allowed native plants to grow and wildlife to return. The beavers were reintroduced to the area by the owners of a nearby resort, who worked with conservation groups and native tribes. The restoration effort has been pretty successful, with 58 beavers relocated to the area over the past 5 years. They've built a complex network of dams and canals, deepening ponds, and allowing native willows and alders to take root. As a result, ducks and elk have started to return to the area. However, there's now a planned infrastructure project that could potentially undo all this progress. The project could harm the beavers' habitat and the restored ecosystem. It's a bit concerning, given how much work has gone into restoring the area. The beavers were actually at risk of being euthanized before they were relocated, so it's great that they've been able to thrive in this new environment. It's worth noting that the original damage to the river was made worse by a sediment retention structure built by the US Army Corps of Engineers back in 1989. The structure trapped volcanic material, creating a massive sediment plain. So it's a bit ironic that another human project could now threaten the progress that's been made. Overall, it's a pretty interesting story about the power of restoration and the importance of considering the potential impacts of human projects on the environment. The fact that beavers have been able to restore a damaged ecosystem is a great reminder of the importance of preserving and protecting natural habitats. And then, seventh, from New Atlas. Steadier skyscrapers evolving from cheap, abundant, primitive material. So, researchers at the University of Mississippi have been looking into using a pretty common material to make skyscrapers more stable. They're exploring the use of a type of fibre that's cheap and abundant, which could be a game-changer for building design. The goal is to reduce the impact of strong winds and earthquakes on these tall structures, making them safer and more comfortable for occupants. The idea is to use this material to create a system that can absorb and distribute the forces that cause buildings to sway, which can be really uncomfortable for people inside. This is where dampers come in. They're essentially devices that help reduce the motion of a building, making it feel more stable. By using this new material, the researchers hope to create more effective dampers that can be used in a variety of building types. The study is still in its early stages, but the preliminary results are promising. The researchers have been testing the material and its potential applications, and they're seeing some positive outcomes. It's not a huge breakthrough just yet, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. If this technology develops further, it could lead to some significant improvements in building design and construction. It's worth noting that this research is focused on using a specific type of fibre that's commonly found in nature. The fact that it's abundant and inexpensive makes it an attractive option for builders and architects. The researchers are taking a careful and methodical approach to their work, which is important when it comes to something as critical as building safety. Overall, this research has the potential to make a real difference in the way we design and construct tall buildings. It's not a flashy or attention-grabbing development, but it's a solid example of how scientists and engineers are working to create safer and more comfortable spaces for us to live and work. Next, 8th from phys.org. Researchers explore classroom applications of AI new learning platforms. The team ran a small-scale pilot across 10 Hong Kong classrooms, pairing teacher surveys with student performance data to see how AI tools actually work day to day. They found that when the platforms offered real-time feedback, like instant quiz hints or adaptive reading suggestions, students tended to stay on task a bit longer, and teachers reported less grading hassle. However, the gains were modest. Improvements in test scores were around 3% on average, and the biggest benefits showed up for subjects with clear right or wrong answers. The researchers note the need for larger, longer-term studies before schools can decide on wide-scale rollout. But the early signals suggest AI can be a useful, if not transformative, classroom aid. Up next, 9th from the Brockovich Report, Texas. What's going with data centres? Live with Erin Brockovich. Texas is on track to eclipse Northern Virginia as the nation's biggest hub for data centres, and that shift is already stirring up real concerns for water supplies, farmland, and the families caught in the middle. In a live chat, Rep. Vicky Goodwin, who's been in the Texas legislature for 4 terms and is now running for lieutenant governor, and Clayton Tucker, a fourth-generation cattle farmer and Texas Farmers Union secretary, unpack what that growth really means. Goodwin points out that data centres need a lot of water for cooling, and in a state already wrestling with drought, that demand constrains local reservoirs and municipal supplies. She's pushing for stronger oversight and clearer rules so water use stays transparent and affordable for communities. Tucker adds that the rapid expansion is eating into agricultural land, pushing farms farther from their historic roots. He's calling for state-level checks on how much power and water these facilities draw, arguing that without tighter controls, the same water that keeps crops and cattle alive could end up powering servers instead. Both agree that accountability will have to be built into the permitting process, making sure water use data are public, that farms get a seat at the table, and that any new site is evaluated for its real impact on the surrounding ecosystem and economy. And then. 10th from phys.org. Plant scientist explains the impact of the EU's new gene editing rules. The European Union adopted new legislation on plants obtained through certain new genomic techniques in June 2026. The new framework will apply after a 2-year transition period. It distinguishes between 2 categories. Plants in Category 1, NGT1, have a limited number and type of genetic changes that could also occur naturally or through conventional breeding. Under the new legislation, they will largely be regulated like conventionally bred plants. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. Want this every morning? It's free. Set up your own feed at storiaflow.com.